Before we start, I just wanted to say that I've heard a really good song.
Good song on the radio.
Yeah, Feral. Have you heard this Feral song?
Happy.
That's still happy. It's great, isn't it? It's new.
How have you? Where have you been that you've only just heard that song? What planet have you been living
on? The telly.
It's been number one all year.
It's been like, you know, everywhere.
Oh, really? Anyway, so before we get going, I suppose, can we get some dates sort of for the next podcast recording? If you get your diaries out, let's look in February. How about Monday the 16th?
Oh, no, I can't do Mondays. I've got Zumba.
Well, what about next night, then?
I can't do Tuesdays either. Legs, bums and tums. I can do the Wednesday, though.
All right. Well, what about Wednesday, Rebel?
No, the Rickett family go out for dinner twice a week. We go to Wendy's on Wednesdays, and we go to TGI Fridays on...
Fridays?
No, Thursdays, but thanks for taking part.
Right, well, I can't do Friday the 20th.
A bit quiet, though,
aren't you? I've got tickets to something good. Band? To see a band. Like a really obscure band, actually, you know. Like you probably wouldn't have heard them.
Oh, yeah, that's the gig Mrs. Rickett and Mrs. Ells told me about. You're going to see the Black Eyed Peas, I think, isn't it?
The Black Eyed Peas?
Well, I'm going to see the Black Eyed Peas?
What dates can you do? What dates can you do, Tudor?
I can do 24th or 25th.
What's wrong with the 24th and the 25th?
I'm washing my hair.
You haven't got any hair?
I have, on my balls.
And that takes two nights.
I've got two balls.
Enough of that nonsense. The next week might be better. I've got a feeling. Shut up, you two bastards. I've got a feeling we might be able to sort a date for the week after that. 26th or 27th?
No, not sure. I'm due to present at the AGM of the Giggleswick and Braithwaite Over 50s Diabetic Needlecraft and Wassailing Society that night.
Fucking hell. What about the 28th, then?
No can do, got taekwondo.
No can do, got taekwondo too.
You two are bloody crap.
Well, yes, they are, but some of their early stuff was all right.
Hang on a minute, boys. Don't despair. Look, I've got nothing at all in my diary for February the 29th or February the 30th.
Oh, hey. For fuck's sake.
Let's not split at Thanksgiving. That would be too rough. On display around the family table, saying pass the stuffing, with all those loved ones witnessing all our reindeer pain. Let's not split at Thanksgiving, that would be insane. And we can't quit at Christmas time, that's also insanity. You have to check the lights work right, I have to lug the tree inside. It takes two to make the tree stand straight, to get it in the stand. No, we can't quit at Christmas, that can't be our plan. We can't quit at Christmas time, the world won't understand. Day, that would be a joke. Going to watch some fireworks to celebrate what broke. And not our anniversary, that would be too cold. Way too cold. That day I keep forgetting, we swore to have and hold. Not a September separation, lest everyone should know, and blame the stars and planets and our dumb sign Virgo. Halloween's a possibility, we can wear some masks in costume and pretending, so we don't have to ask ourselves. But looking at the calendar, There really is no day that makes sense for us to end it. Throw it all away. The whole idea's too awful. It's too sad, too strange, too cruel. Way too cruel. No date would be convenient. Well, maybe April Fool's Day. Looking at the calendar, maybe April Fool.
Next up, we're playing a song by New York's Ava Luna, or Ava Luna, or Ava Luna, I don't know, but it's A-V-A-L-U-N-A. There's vocalist on this track. They've got a few vocalists who sing on different tracks on the album. The album is called Electric Balloon. The singer on this track is a guy called Carlos Hernandez. And one of the other singers, who's called Felicia Douglas, her dad is quite a famous producer and record engineer. His name's Jimmy Douglas. And he's been around for a long time. He worked on not only television's Marquee Moon, but also Missy Elliott's Get Your Freak On. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a fucking CV.
Yeah.
So it's probably safe to say he knows a bit about music. He went to see these guys in their early days, and he was very frank in what he told them. He said, you guys are onto something. But then he pointed at their lead singer, Carlos Hernandez. He said, but you fucking suck. You guys need to get a different singer. Well, I'm not sure I agree. So this from their album Electric Balloon, this is Plain Speech.
sips and winks. I tried to throw it into the river, but it talked me out of it. Although he's eating me out of house and home, I'm getting rather fond of it. Got a head in my bag, I don't know how it got there. It shouts rude things, it sits and winks. Always wants a lick of my lolly. I'm sick of blowing his nose. Cries if you speak to him harshly. What he's thinking, no one knows. Got a head in my bag, I don't know how it got there. It shouts rude things, it sits and winks. If you should know of some old body that's as headless as can be, then you know just what to do now. Just get in touch with me.
So Ava Luna there. I got a review that says that it's like Stax meets Kraftwerk.
I wrote down Beef Art times Talking Heads.
Well, this guy actually said, I think it's from The Guardian, this. He said, it's more like Z meets Pixies. But I don't know who Z is.
it wasn't that much use to.
I think Z is a label, isn't it? A record label. A New York post-punk record label.
It did go a bit AOR in the middle, though, didn't it?
It's like three really or four weird songs in one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very weird. And quite a few of the songs on the album are like that. But that one is... And it got more than a hint of Talking Heads, which you just mentioned. Both those songs have got more than a hint of Talking Heads in it, that one and the one we just played. But, it's kind of... They get a bit of a groove going, and you kind of think, oh, okay, I can see where this song's going. And then they completely change it into something very different. And that song probably more than any of the others.
I thought it was like if Sam Cooke, Aretha Franklin, and Diana Ross had all grown up listening to nothing but Nirvana.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's really good. The song doesn't pay any attention to like rhythms, does it? You can't really dance to it, but it's really soulful and potentially a bit poppy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But apparently this is I think this is their second album, and I read somewhere that this is far more accessible than their first album. So the first album, I think, it was more jittery, jumping from one kind of theme to another.
And ironically enough, it's called Plain Speech, but I've absolutely no idea what it was about. Can you enlighten me?
No. I've no idea what it was talking about. No idea.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, Dad, you say with whoever you said he worked with, he also with Kanga 4.
Yes, Timberland. And Justin Timberlake. Lots of fairly modern R&B
stuff. Did you know Carlos Hernandez? Do you know who his dad was?
Is it that Hernandez who plays for Menu?
Do you know it's not?
No,
it's not. But it's Kid Creole's diminutive sidekick, Quati Monday.
Is that true?
Yeah. He doesn't like to talk about it, apparently.
Very good. And before that, we had the band Birds With Ears with their very interesting track, Head in My Bag. Now, Head in My Bag is a track that came to my attention through the Voltage records, and there's a which I brought all of these in.
Voltage, but we should explain Voltage spelt VAULTAGE.
Yeah, and these are compilations that were out on the Atrix compilation album. You might be familiar with these. They're from Brighton, Brighton label. I've got three volumes, the 78, 79, and 80.
I recognise some of the band names. Yeah, Beach with the Test Tube Babies, the Piranhas.
That's right. They're all Brighton punk bands.
Yeah.
And there's some really great stuff on here. The Chefs, I think, are on twice.
Oh, there's that. The Galinsky Brothers, Bloody, you had on one of your monthly mixes a little while ago.
That's right.
The Lillettes, who are presumably named after the tampon of the same name.
Indeed. So, and this is the fantastic Birds With Ears. And let me just show you this, because, as you know, I'm a stickler for looking after vinyl.
Okay. Yep.
But sometimes I do buy
vinyl. Have you had this since...
No. But I bought this second hand. Look at the shape of that.
Oh, it's warped.
It is warped and a half, isn't it?
Plays all right then.
It plays fine.
Yeah.
But actually, I've taken that track, not from this, which I've heard, but they've got a free album. You can get their only album, I think, which is an album called Euthanasia.
Yes, it's
Spelled youth, Y-O-U-T-H,
in Asia.
Euthanasia. You can go get that from this website called www.punkbrighton.co.uk. Yes, I don't know if you... Do you find this?
I found that, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Now, it's definitely worth visiting. It's got fascinating detail about all the bands on these
clubs. Well, I love the way they do. We've got a leather jacket with all these badges on all the bands. Right, yeah. You click on the badge, and that takes you into the band. Yeah. And then if there's... Because there's Piranha's, like, lost recording material... that's on them as well as the whole album of that.
So this is the same Piranhas as in Tom Hart.
So all really good stuff. Now, I love that song because I think the idea of walking around with a head in a bag is one that I particularly
like. And particularly a head that does the things that he describes in the song.
Yes.
He always wants a lick of my lolly, which he says in a way that makes you think, is he talking about a lick of his head? That sounds really dodgy. And the head that answers back, and then in the end, he kind of almost is like an ad. Mm. He's saying, you know, but so if you know a body that's missing a head, then get in touch with me.
Well, interestingly...
Uh-huh.
Guided by Voices also found a head.
Wow! Imagine, imagine someone knowing that.
Yeah. So we've got a collection of heads, haven't we? And I think that can only mean one thing. Yeah. It's time for a head quiz. Oh yes, head quiz. Are you ready, boys?
Yes. So you're giving head quiz.
I'm very much giving you both head at the same time.
Right. Okay. A lot of people would pay a lot of money to see that.
or not to be forced to watch it. Anyway, so if I give you a long-winded introduction to the
quiz, please do. Yes, as is traditional.
In researching for this podcast, it became apparent to me that Robert Pollard, you may have heard of him, out of that Guided by Voices, has under various guises released 25 songs with the word head in it.
Okay.
Alright. So your task, boys, is to decide which of the pair of songs I present to you is actually the real Guided by Voices or offshoot song involving the word head.
Wow. Yeah. So these are song titles with head in it or not.
Bogus.
Okay. Yeah. Bogus song titles. Yeah.
So let's start with the quick fire round. So Rebel Ricket.
Okay.
You're fired. Okay. And let's go on to round two now. So which is the Guided by Voices song? Which is the real Guided by Voices? Okay. So you can start. So Robert Pollard's album From a Compound Eye contains a
That's
song.
That's a live album, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Contains a song entitled A, Blessed in an Angry Head, or B, Blessed in an Open Head?
I'm going with the first one.
You're saying Blessed in an Angry Head?
The first one.
Okay, and the answer is Blessed in an Open Head, so no points for you, I'm afraid.
Is someone keeping score?
I don't really need to yet, but yes.
So that's nil. Just make sure you put down nil for me.
So Rebel Ricket.
Yeah.
Robert Pollard's album, From a Compound Eye... It's still not live. Contains a song entitled A, The Lettered Head, or B, The Numbered Head.
The Numbered Head.
Is correct.
Oh, yes.
Is correct, yes. Okay, Chirito. On the Suitcase Failed Experiments and Trashed Aircraft collection, Pollard records a song under the name King of Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
Is it A, Little Head, or B, Tiny Head?
Tiny head.
It isn't. It's little head. You've gone too small.
Okay.
Yeah. Rebel.
Yeah.
On the Suitcase 2 American Super Dream Wow collection, Pollard records a song under the name Terror of Living. Is it A, Buckethead, or B, Rockethead?
Buckethead.
It isn't, it's Rockethead.
Oh, I was confident then.
Yeah.
Buckethead, there was a, just as a small aside for a minute, there was a guy in...
There's a band called Buckethead, isn't there?
Well, there's a guy, a bloke called Buckethead.
Yeah.
He was a bloke, he was in Guns N' Roses, and he wore a KFC bargain bucket on his head the whole time.
Did
this is true, yeah. Yeah. So quite how he could see what he was doing when he was playing the guitar, I don't know.
Well, there's a song that Pollard hasn't written yet. He hasn't written that song about him.
Right, no. Okay.
Okay, so Chorizo. On the Circus Devils album Escape, there is a song entitled A, Bouncing of the Heads, or B, Slamming of the Heads.
Which album is this from?
This is from the Circus Devils Escape album that came out last year.
Right, okay. That doesn't help at all.
Mm.
I've forgotten the question. I'm going with the second one.
Bouncing of the Heads or Slamming?
I'm going Bouncing.
You're going Bouncing. Is correct.
Yay! Yeah,
it's correct. He's got a point.
Good point, huh?
I hope you're not googling there.
There's no way he's playing for Guns N' Roses.
Buckethead. Yeah, oh, he's got a face there. He's got a mask on. Yeah.
Carry on. Yeah, okay. Rebel.
Yeah.
On the Circus Devils album, The Harold Pig Memorial, there is a song entitled A, Foxhead Delivery, or B, Chickenhead Delivery.
Foxhead Delivery.
Is correct.
Yes.
Oh, no, what's the score now, then?
It's 2-1 to me.
Actually, you're quite right. Just having googled this Buckethead guy, he doesn't actually have the bucket covering his face, does he?
It's just actually on top
it's
of
on his head.
That's poor.
I suppose if he did have it, that's why he's called Buckethead and not Bucket Face. Anyway, carry on.
Okay. Chorizo.
Hello.
On the new I Sell the Circus release by Rickid Wicky, there is a song entitled A, Cow-Headed Moon, or B, Pig-Headed Moon.
Cow-headed moon.
It's correct.
Oh, that's two all. Just to the side, I wonder if he got sponsorship from Kentucky Fried Chicken wearing that bucket. He must have done massive stadium gigs.
Yeah.
Wearing a bucket. Do you think there was a lot of people? You know, like if you go and see Paul Weller, you see a lot of people in the crowd who dress like Paul Weller. Do you think there's a lot of people
see
buckets on their head?
Ridiculous idea.
I would prefer to see him wearing a rocket on his head, though. So that would fit much more with the quiz.
It would, yeah.
So, well, go on.
Anyway, okay, all right. Rebel, it's you, I think, isn't it?
Mm.
On another Circus Devils album, on the Circus Devils album Gringo, there is a song entitled A, Tiger Head, or B, Monkey Head.
Monkey Head.
Is correct.
Oh, yes.
Is that about? Is it a song about Peter Reed?
Okay, Chorizo, the song The Ash Grey Proclamation, which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Of course,
which is on Pollard's Not In My Air Force.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Has also appeared under the title A, Applehead, or B, Potato Head.
What was the original song called?
It's called The Ash Grey Proclamation.
Right, so there's a clue there. Well, ash grey, that could refer to the tree. Tree, and I'm going all 3-2-1 now. Is it the bin? Is it Dusty Bin? It's the holiday, I think. But I'm going to go with, what was the second
apple head or potato head?
I'm going with apple.
He's right.
Yay!
Oh, wow, trail.
And I've got a feeling
neck
this,
and neck.
This may well be the last question, though.
Oh, dear.
So, Rebel, it comes to you. Rebel Ricketts.
Yes.
Robert Pollard's album, Elephant Jokes, contains a song entitled A, Optic Heads, or B, Epic Heads.
Optic Heads.
Is wrong.
Oh.
So well, that makes the final score.
3-3.
3-3.
3-3. So I need
a tiebreaker.
Well, we've just heard the song by Guided by Voices called The Head.
The Head,
And is it, first of all, do you know which album that comes from?
No.
Okay. Is it from A, Let's Get Out of the Factory, or is it B, Let's Get Into the Factory?
It's B. Were you going to say B too?
No, I'll say A. Just make it interesting.
So you're saying Let's Get Out of the Factory.
Yeah.
You're saying Let's Get Into the Factory.
I think so, yeah.
And it's Let's Get Out of the Factory, Rebel Ricketts.
Yes.
You are very much the head of the head quiz.
Give me head!
Martin Zeichnitter was born in Pestowitz near Dresden in 1951. He learnt tape editing working for the Deutsche Film AG Gesellschaft in the animation department. He heard the kosmische sounds of Kraftwerk, Cluster and Neu on the radio, and as a keen amateur runner, thought they could be used as a training aid for athletes. He shared this idea with his work colleagues and pretty soon was removed from the workplace by officers from the SED, and he feared the worst. He was driven to the outskirts of Berlin and questioned about his concept for hours at a time. Later, an official from the Nationals Olympisches Committee informed him he would begin work on a project to train athletes immediately. Observed by state officials, he began working in a secret studio to develop the soundtrack to many an East German athlete's training regime. The last work he did was in 1983, doing pieces for the gymnastic team's floor performances. The project stopped suddenly with no explanation, possibly as a result of the boycott of the Los Angeles Olympics. Fortunately, Martin was able to smuggle out a number of master tapes, and in the 1990s, they were transferred to digital. This music that was made for people to train to first saw light of day in 2013 with the release of Kosmische Laufer's first volume of recordings. The track you are about to hear, Flucht aus dem Tal der Ahnungslosen, Escape from the Valley of the Clueless, comes from a second volume of secret cosmic music of the East German Olympic programme 1972 to 1983 and was written with rare access to a full band. Inspired by the train journey from Dresden to Berlin, it soundtracked a 10-minute, 172 BPM run. Jetzt geht's los!
Well, I mean, exactly.
Hello.
Exactly. Fantastic song. Really enjoyable. I've not tried it out.
Have you not?
I've not tried it out on the run.
I didn't know it was written for that purpose, but now I will try it out on the run. Yeah.
Is it 172 BPM run? Is that something? Is that something you aspire to, boys?
I don't know. I'd have to run with it and see. Mm. 100 beats per minute, isn't it? So yeah. That's I don't know. That sounds pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are athletes, aren't they? I think I might go on every other beat.
Yeah.
But on that, I thought what he'd done was he'd thrown loads of beats at it because there's beats all over the place.
Mm.
So fit for any runner. Mm. So I imagine beginners are just at home with that, with your elite athletes, myself.
But it's the pulse of the thing. The pulse doesn't change. It's just the snare, the accent of the snare changes, especially in the last few minutes of the song.
I assume you're running on the pulse.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to run the pulse. I think you can run any of them. But it's, again, an incredible story. I mean, he seriously thought that he'd been taken away. He's going to be taken away to be shot.
Well, as you say, an incredible story. And you might wonder how incredible, really, because, I love a band with a concept.
Mm. Yeah.
And a backstory.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that you can get a better backstory than this. But
is it true?
It might not be true.
Right, I was going to say, I thought it's all a hoax. There's some bloke from Harlow.
He's from Edinburgh.
Right, okay.
I've got an interview with him,
yeah. You've got an interview with him, yeah.
I have. There's some
detail in this. I think they've gone to great lengths. He's gone to great, and they aren't breaking from their cover story.
Right.
But if you listen to the sounds on that,
yeah.
I don't think they're 1970s synth sounds.
Well, there's certainly some stuff in there. But also, I was going to ask, I mean, how successful were the East... I don't remember a slew of gold medals for the East Germans in the late 70s in Montreal.
Well, it might have been better if they had had it.
Hold on.
Yeah. So they didn't have it. They didn't have that music.
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. I mean,
this is some guy from people. This is a guy old enough to have even been in East
Germany. Yeah, hold on. Say he was 25 in 1972.
Yeah.
82, 92, 2002. So then he'd be... like 80.
40, a lot older. Yeah.
He'd be old guy, wouldn't he?
He'd be 60, nearly 70.
Nearly 70.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The guy they're talking to in this interview that I forgot in this interview. I saw it. They don't say how old he is.
Yeah.
There's some great. The thing is, the irritating thing is some great detail here about
huge amount of detail. The
secret service in the recording studio.
Yeah.
The he said it's the first Walkmans that came into the country because he said he saw the order of 300 Walkmans for the athletes. He said he spoke to some of the athletes later, right?
Yeah.
Who said that we did get the tapes, but when we went to international meets, we used to get them taped over with Western music.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know some detail.
Did he mention any athletes by name?
No.
There was one called Cock, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There was a lady called Cock.
There was. Yeah.
Who used to win stuff.
She,
Marina Cock, I think her name was.
Let's assume it is true. I'd love to think it's true. I think it might not be, but they've really presented it as brilliantly because it's written on the back of the album here. It says tracks A1 to B1 form a running program at 170 with warm up and warm down pieces. Tracks B2 to B6 were written to accompany the gymnastics floor exercise. Finally, tracks B7 to B8 took us onto the ice with two pieces written for the figure skating long program, etc., etc. I mean, they've really gone to town.
Yeah.
This is, the second volume. The first volume follows the same story. There's rumoured to be a third volume which may find the light of day this year.
Because he was doing it for years.
Yeah. He was doing it for years,
For 12 years, so there's going to be more stuff.
If listeners are interested, you can find this stuff. They've got a Bandcamp page, Kosmischer Laufer. I should spell it for you, which is Kosmischer. And then Laufer. So their Bandcamp page, you can listen to their stuff and still buy the records. Not this red vinyl, though, of course. This is very limited edition. It's only people like me. Have.
And we've been joined by a special guest, we should say, as well. The official Trust the Wizard's dog.
Yeah, my little Ricky.
Has entered the room.
Yeah.
What did he make of that? Rough.
Kicker's question time.
Okay, so last time round, I asked you two questions. My first question was, who played guitar on the first Monkees recordings? Did you know?
No, but it was probably one of those people who played on in the Wrecking Crew, who played on lots of albums. There's a film coming out about them, isn't there?
Is there?
It could be.
I say two well-known.
The Los Angeles Wrecking Crew. I mean, Glenn Campbell was in that for a little while and played on lots of records at that time.
Glenn Campbell is correct.
and somebody else from that.
I think it's Glen Campbell. I'm saying it's Glen Campbell.
Yeah,
he was just talking. I've had to answer the question.
Yeah, Glen Campbell is correct.
There we go.
And he'd already said it was Glen Campbell you said it was Glen Campbell.
And
oh, yes, well done.
And
I don't know.
James Burton.
Ah, James Burton. Elvis guitarist.
Later on the song You and I, do you know
Jimmy Page?
No, not Jimmy Page. On the song You and I.
Is that a Monkey song, is it?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
Neil Young plays on it.
All right. Yeah.
So pretty good guitar players on those songs,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
If not Monkees. So that was the first question. And the second question was, which is the longest single ever to grace the UK charts? And Chorizo Garbanzo, you knew this.
I did know this. Not only that, I own it. And I brought it along for you tonight. It's this one. 39 minutes, I think it is.
Can I just ask, how far up the charts did this actually get?
Quite high. The Orb were massive at this time. It's The Orb.
It's The Orb.
Blue Room.
The Orb,
39
right.
minutes, 58 seconds.
There you go.
And I've got the CD single here. Yeah. The Orb.
Yeah, okay, we'll come back to that, I think, won't we?
Yeah.
Because I have to give you some new questions.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased with these. Very pleased with these. Okay.
That means they're even more impossible than normal, I think.
Now, I think you might get this one, Rebel Ricket, because I've got a feeling I took this out of Viv Albertine's book, but I'm not sure. Anyway, which 80s pop star described who as a dwarf that fell into a vat of pubic hair?
Yeah.
So I'm looking for two names there. I'd like an 80s pop star who described another 80s pop star as a dwarf that fell into a vat of pubic hair.
Okay.
And we'll see what you come up with next time. All right?
I think I've heard that quote before, and I think I know that.
Okay,
I can't say it.
Okay, and my second question is, and again, Rebel Ricket, you've got a good chance here.
Good.
Yeah. I want to know on which song by one of your favourite bands, The Damned, are there uncredited backing vocals by Joe Strummer and Topperhead? Okay. So those are my two questions this time around. That gives us Kicker's Question Time.
Okay. Now, so for The Orb, though.
Yes, The Orb.
The CD single. I thought The Orb are big fans of Steve Reich and John Cage and all those guys. So I thought, let's introduce a bit of the element of the music of chance into the Trust the Wizards podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So we're obviously not going to play all 39 minutes for 58 seconds of The Blue Room.
Or are we?
No, we're not. So I brought along some funny dice.
Yeah, yeah.
As in not six-sided dice.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one for you there, Rebel. I think that's an eight-sided dice. I don't know, 10 or something.
Yeah.
So what I thought we'd do, if we roll these three dice and we add up the total, and then that will determine what minute we're going to start playing from.
Okay.
And then we roll a normal six-sided dice, and that will decide how many minutes of it we're going to play.
This is very exciting.
Okay,
so should we roll now?
Let's roll.
I've got a 7.
I've got 5,
that's
6, 12. That's a 9.
18. We're starting
minute 18.
That's a 9. That's a 9.
Okay, so that's 40, 21.
Okay, 20, so we're starting at 21 minutes, and then you roll a normal dice, Rebel, and you will...
just one normal dice.
Just one normal dice, and that'll say how many minutes we're going to play it for.
We're going to play
6 minutes! And so here's The Orb with the
Blue Room.
Thank you.
the subject of the Orb, you know that song, the most famous song, Little Fluffy Clouds, and it's got that sample of that interview with the singer Ricky Lee Jones, and she's talking about Little Fluffy Clouds. At the beginning of that song, I just wonder if we were to do an interview, and we were to, well, I mean, what a fucking awful interview question. Who does an interview with somebody and says, what were the clouds like when you were young? What kind of a fucking interview question is that? And amazingly...
We should ask J.D. Mingo.
Well, amazingly, she gives an answer. She gives a very long... They were beautiful. They went on forever. What? What a stupid question. Anyway...
Have you met the Orb?
I've not met the Orb, no. No, I went to see him once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I didn't see him.
Did you not?
I didn't see him. They were playing. They used to do...
Is that because they played in the dark? They don't wear...
That's Orbital.
That's Orbital.
Orbital, you're thinking of with the little head torches.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
I
actually saw them and I heard them. Yeah. With the Orb, they used to do some all-nighter things at Brixton Academy. I went to one of those and it was, you know, early 90s, well, probably 1990, I should think, height of rave culture kind of thing. And rave culture, you know, I lived on the... On the M25, pretty much. I didn't live on the M25. I lived very near the M25.
Well, you could have
M25. I was, you know, right in exactly the right spot for rave culture in the second summer of love, and it was exactly the same right age. I was 18, so and lots of my mates got into it, and I went to a rave once, but I was on the wrong kind of drugs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It didn't really.
I hated it. Loads of my friends went to it. I couldn't stand it.
Anyway, I did like the music, and I particularly liked the weird, electronic, noisy music rather than the vocal, boom, jump, 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 rather than in your face stuff.
What year were we talking here, by the way?
About 1990, I think.
I think
that song was the first album, the first Orb album, I'm guessing, 1990, which was when I went to see them. And they were doing this all-nighter, and they had at Brixton Academy, and they had Zoe supporting them, who was, do you remember that song, Sunshine on a Rainy Day? She was supporting and System 7, who is a guy called Steve Hillage and his wife.
Steve Hillage out of
Gong, is it?
Yeah.
Gong? I've never heard Gong, but they're prog rock.
I
quite like System 7. They were a bit like the Orb, but with more guitars. Mm. In fact, Steve Hillage plays on quite a lot of their stuff. But it was normal. There's lots of DJs. And I'll tell you what, an interesting thing. I was standing next to this woman who had sort of black, spiky hair. And I noticed this. She was quite. That woman looks a lot like Susie. You know, Susie Sue from Susie and the Banshees. Yeah. I'd had a bit of some ingested various things.
The wrong drugs.
Not the right drugs that everyone else was on. But some different stuff. Yeah. And I thought that woman looks a hell of a lot like Susie Sue from Susie and the Banshees. Yeah. And then I noticed that lots of people during the course of the evening, because I was standing next to this woman for quite a long time, I noticed quite a lot of people. Well. They keep saying hello to her and they're smiling at her and they're calling her Susie and so they obviously think they obviously think it's Susie from the Susie and the Banshees as well, so she must really look like her. At no point did it occur to me that it actually was her until I noticed the bloke she was standing with and go, oh look, there's Budgie from Susie and the Banshees as well.
What a coincidence.
Anyway, I went to see
the Orb. He didn't know who it was.
I went to see the Orb and I didn't see the Orb because by the time they came on, it was, I don't know what time it was in the morning, because I was asleep. I'd fallen asleep on the floor. You ever been to Brixton Academy? It's a big standing venue.
Yes, we saw
with a slopey floor.
You did, yeah.
With a slopey floor, and, you know, I just went off to the side, and next thing I knew, my mate was waking me up.
And the Orb were amazing.
Del. Oh. Why did you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're going to go all the way. Oh, yeah!
You're listening to the Shoulds the Mrs. Cross Part.
Can I just tell you?
Please do.
It's not easy being a guided by voice is completist.
No.
Not only is there the unmatchable rate with which Robert Pollard produces new material to cope with, and I'd just like to point out at this stage, 2015, which has only really just started, has so far seen the announced release of 4 7-inch singles, 3 new LPs under various guises, the reissue of both B-1000...
Your favourite album of all time.
And King Shit and the Golden Boys. The former on heavyweight vinyl, and also very clear, very limited clear vinyl, both of which...
King Shit and the Golden Boys?
Are you not aware of this?
No, is that an album? Is that a band?
It's an album, oh. Yeah. I might have to play you on something from that another time. But anyway, but there are also the often very limited releases that turn up on obscure little labels with little or no fanfare. Frankly, keeping up is a full-time job. Anyway, the hardest to find release last year came in the form of the band's first ever 10-inch vinyl release, which is only available from the Dogfish Head Brewery in Sussex County, Delaware.
No.
And they put out a limited range of beers, rather brilliantly called Beer 1000.
I saw that, yeah. I saw that.
Added this record to the package. So you bought this pack of six beers and you got a 10-inch vinyl free. Well, never mind the beer. I had to have the vinyl. And, as Charlotte Bronte no doubt would have put it, listener, I got the vinyl. And it's the Insects of Rock tour, apparently, apparently, it is on the vinyl. So let me just get it out. It's a gorgeous thing. There you go, have a look at that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So the Insects of Rock tour was the first major tour that that GBV did, really, outside
Insects of Rock.
Yeah, outside of Ohio.
Is that a contrast of Monsters of Rock?
It is, yes. And this is a recording of them playing in New York. And
they're playing quite a few B-1000 tracks.
They are, but interestingly, Pollard at one point says on the record, this is called Gold Star for Robot Boy, and it's from our new album, B-1000. Mm-hmm. But the contrarian that I am, it's not a track from B-1000 that I've chosen to play. Rather, this one comes from the album The Same Place the Fly Got Smashed, which is Guided by Voice's fourth album, and reckoned by many to be a concept album about alcoholism. So get a contact buzz from Drinker's Peace.
At times I wish I were dead. Busy people dancing all over my head. Real shock value with every move they make. Real bad headache with every step they take. I get a contact buzz. Can't remember what the problem was. I find it hard to even care. Life was too real till you got there. My life was dirt, but you seemed to make it cleaner. Reduced my felony to a misdemeanor. When I feel sick, you're an antibiotic. Organize my world's pointless and chaotic. I get a contact buzz. Can't remember what the problem was. I find it hard to even care. Life was too real until you got there.
Downtown, big sky, new light. cut that just can't change the shape. Big sky, new time, or in the gust we'll just get blown away. Is a sure sign. Break free from downtime. Big sky, new light. Big sky, new light. Big sky, new light. Big sky.
So first of all, we heard Drink Is Peace by Guided By Voices. Have you heard that before?
I have not. No, it's a very good tune, that one. I like that one. Is the whole album kind of mostly solo?
No, not much band.
That's
a very different sound, yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like I've heard it before.
You probably
have. And if I have, it's something to do with you.
Well, I remember some back in the day, I don't know if you recall this, I gave you a box set of homemade Guided By Voices albums by chronologically, and it was like a CD, the best of Guided By Voices 1984 to 1986, best of 1987, all the way through. I think there's at least four, but possibly more than that.
Yes,
I'm sure I would have put this on it.
Yeah,
well, I know you gave me and several other people a first best of, in your opinion, Guided By Voices, but it was slightly corrupted. We'd come back and say, I'm not really sure about that, mate. But it was actually broke. But then you did definitely give me a box set.
I did give you a box, yes. I did create a box. And gave it a title, but I can't remember what that was.
Well, I'm glad you said it was about... some people say it's about alcohol. You know how I like to come up with my theories of what these songs are about?
I know you do, yeah.
With your usual GBB choice. And I thought, this is about drinking. I know it's called Drinker's Peace, but, you know...
It's a contact buzz. Yes. It's okay about alcohol, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, the contact buzz is usually about smoking, isn't it? I think, as far as I know.
So that's what the Urban Dictionary says.
Yeah.
To get high from someone who is smoking a joint near you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I thought... Yeah.
That's by... it's a band, yes.
Yeah.
But best lyric on there, reduce my
felonies. I was just getting a contact buzz off that massive reefer you just so that's why I lost my train of thought.
You reduce my felony to a misdemeanor, which is a great one. And there's another look after that, that's brilliant.
And also the fact of my life is dirt, but you seem to make it cleaner, being rhymed with misdemeanor as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Often we think it's just surrealism, and
that one
is one of the most easily decodable songs to say what it's about. But I know we talked about it before in the podcast that he likes a
He does like a drink.
He does.
Mr. Pollard.
Is he watch any concerts?
Is he known to you know? Is he a fan of the old Mary Joanna? Or
No, I don't think so. He's very much a drinker, but he does get absolutely wrecked during like, I mean, the live gig's gone for 2 or 3 hours, and by the end of it, he's often carted off.
Is it GBV
who have the fridge on the stage where the band get liberally, you know?
Yeah, there's beers on the fridge, a cooler, there's a big cooler, and then there's a huge, there's sort of an empty cooler which has puke bucket written on it, and they sort of, you know, empty one and fill the other. But
they're classy, aren't they?
Very classy. They've split under that name again. But when they reformed, they had a bit of publicity, and they got a bit of interest from, you know, bigger record labels, and they played a quite an important gig. They played on, what's it? Is it Yahoo? There's a live gig thing, so it's, you know, it's
right,
broadcast across the US, and
yeah,
it's, you know, their big chance to really, you know,
oh,
to make it. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that it was car crash stuff, but fantastically so. And so it starts off, you could tell that Pollard was fairly pissed before they even started. I mean, he is brilliant because, you know, you see him, you think, there's no way he can deliver a song. He's slurring between, but when he sings, and it's
yeah,
great. And he started off like that, but he got more and more pissed. And of course, what tends to happen then is that he reacts to the crowd, because he doesn't give a shit. And he just started berating everybody. And he went on this huge, long rant about the humans being bastards in the air, you're fucking assholes, and all this. Of course, this is going out live, so it's bleep, 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 bleep. And it got.
Is that on YouTube anywhere?
It's on YouTube. It probably is. I'm not sure if it's on YouTube. I think it's, if you go through the Google Concerts, or I think it's Google Concerts,
right,
or something like
yeah,
that. Yeah, have a look.
So you're possibly not getting an invite back. Yeah.
No. But still, it's, that's what
but that's that film soundtrack that we're going to do. Was that a joke?
Well, about Cleopatra.
It was like a big Disney film or something like that.
Well, they did a number of things like that. That song, I don't know, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
yeah,
4 years ago even, that you chose Donut for a Snowman as
yes,
as one song.
Yeah.
And that song was originally written as a jingle for Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's right.
And I don't think that ever happened. No. But yeah, they were supposed to write a soundtrack for Cleopatra's Soderbergh? I don't know any film.
Steven Soderbergh.
That's the one. He's quite edgy, yeah?
Yeah,
he's written some play about Cleopatra or something.
Has he?
It's got some famous.
It's actually Frozen.
Yeah, I don't think it is Frozen.
No.
No.
Yeah,
but anyway,
after that,
was Martin Stevenson.
Martin Stevenson,
and the song was called.
It was called.
Is he still with the Dainties? Is with them?
He's on that one. Yes.
Yeah.
Big Sky, New Light.
Big Sky, New Light. Yes, he's with that. That's from the third album with the Dainties.
So is that not? That's quite an old song, is it? That's not current.
1992.
Right.
Produced by Lenny Kay from the album This Boy's Heart. And my relationship with Matt Stevenson, by the way, goes way back to about 1986.
As does mine, of course.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, haven't we?
We did. It was amazing because I saw Martin in 1986, and it was wild. He was with the Dainties, headbutting the microphone, sweating all over the gaff, playing a song called Look Down, Look Down, which even now I can remember thinking that's one of the best live experiences I've ever had. It was absolutely wild. And then so I couldn't wait to get the album when it came out, bought it to Bolivia. That song Look Down, Look Down is on there, but it's not wild. The whole album for me was a bit of a letdown.
Oh, really?
You know, you'd like it, didn't you?
Crocodile Cry. Do you know the song Crocodile Cry?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I know what Rebel means. It's
Holy
a bit
Humble
kind of
Heart.
It's definitely worth seeing live. I mean, it is so much better live.
Yeah.
Before you go on, I saw him in 86 as well, up at some place in Sheffield, and it was, they played the Sheffield Student Union, and I can't remember which song it was. It probably wasn't Look Down, Look Down, but it might have been. But I think they'd come back on for an encore, and they were playing acoustically. So they had acoustic guitars, they had sort of drums around the drummer's neck, and he was sort of playing them like that.
Yeah.
And as the song progressed, they came off the stage.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, well, this is pretty cool. And they kind of went round the venue, but then they went out of the venue, and the whole crowd followed them out of the venue, like a sort of Pied Piper thing. And they went up and around the student union and outside and round the building and over the bridge and all the way around playing this stuff, and everyone's marching. And then they came back and went on stage again, and then they carried on. I've never seen that before or since.
But that's the whole point. And actually, I'll come on to this, but I was reawakened to Martin Stevenson because a former read this book, The Song of the Soul, telling his story. And you know, his problem was that he couldn't recreate that live atmosphere and you know the excitement of it. And he could
not exactly 11, really.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, overproduced and then make mistake after mistake in the studio and get more and more annoyed with it. And record companies get annoyed with him because he's selling music and he hated doing all the promotional stuff. And he got dropped by everyone. But he never stopped.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm guessing you might have even seen him.
I did. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But that was around about the time of the Gladsome Humour and Blue album, is it called?
Yes, that's
the second album. That's the one. I kind of saw him live. I think I saw him live on the telly first, on the tube or something. And I thought, this guy's really good. And he was just him and an acoustic guitar. And he's a very good... I like the kind of rockabilly, jazzy picking that he does. I got one of his albums. I think it's his second album. It's the one with Holy Humble Heart on it.
Yeah, that's the one.
And it's...
Classic Human Blue.
Yeah, that's the one. And I was a bit disappointed. But I quite liked the songs which didn't have much of a band on it. And there was one called Me and Matthew, or Matthew and Me. So that was quite good, because that sounded a bit 50s-ish. I like that one. But yes, I think it's time for...
Is it rolling, Bob?
It's rolling. Chorizos, hazily recalled, festival anecdote.
So, yeah, I saw him live at a festival. The very first festival I went to. Right. I'll tell you a little bit about it. It was the Amnesty International. The Amnesty International Festival of Youth, 1988, Milton Keynes Bowl.
Wow.
2-day festival, £25 for a ticket. Oh, I was 17 years old. it was kind of...
And gorgeous.
I was spotty. It was kind of lots of bands. It was a very strange bill. There was lots of bands who were punk or rooted in punk.
Yeah.
Stranglers, Big Audio Dynamite, The Damned, who had Joey Ramone came on and sang a few songs with them.
Oh, wow.
The New Model Army. Joe Strummer, I think it was Joe Strummer's first ever gigs with the Latino Rockabilly War. And he played two times. He played both days, once on each day. There was also the Bundu Boys, who were great, Oswald, who were great, and then there was a few sort of less expected, slightly more mainstream acts like Sam Brown of You Better Stop fame, Martin Stevenson, the Dainties, Aztec Camera, and Howard Jones, strangely enough. The main thing I remember, being this wide-eyed 17-year-old from the Sticks, there was pitched battles throughout most of the weekend. Pitched battles between the left side of the arena and the right side of the arena, with people throwing plastic bottles, which was the only alcohol you could buy. Was these plastic bottles of lager, with beer or piss, or both. Howard Jones made the mistake at one point of trying to get this to stop in the name of peace. That was a big mistake, because of course it was like Christmas Day 1914, you know, the both sides momentarily forgot their animosity towards each other and united against the common enemy, which was Howard Jones, and everybody just fucking threw stuff at him. But I wanted to tell you one of my most vivid memories of that was, being 17-year-old and pretty stupid, I didn't take a tent or a sleeping bag. Not because I'm fucking hardcore, I don't need a tent or a sleeping bag. Just because it just never occurred to me that I might need a tent or a sleeping bag. Because I was 17-year-old. I was festival virgin. Mm. And also an actual virgin. But anyway, I was sleeping in the back of my mate's car, and it was woken up very early. It was still dark, which was new. I was a teenager, I didn't wake up when it was still dark. There was a lot of noise all of a sudden, and our car was surrounded by about 50 bikers who couldn't have looked any more like stereotypical bikers if they tried.
It's Altamont all over again.
They were in the process of overturning and then setting fire to the car that was parked about 2 metres away from the one that I was in.
Sleeping.
Yeah, and so I got out. I stood a little bit further away. And there was no bands on, there's nothing else to watch, so I thought, I'll just watch the fire. But it didn't, rather disappointingly, I suppose, it didn't really turn into a massive explosion like they do in the films, when it was a little bit disappointing.
It was just you and this guy, was it?
No, there was other people around. Some of my friends, I went with two cars of people, so some of my friends, they must have had a tent.
And there was probably someone else sleeping in the car.
You left them in, though.
No, I won't wake him. No, we were all around. We were fucking hell. What if our car goes up? When the big explosion happens, like in the films, you know. But I, you know, I found out actually subsequently going to more festivals, especially Reading, that this seems to be some kind of festival tradition for bikers, and indeed anyone else that, that not just bikers, anyone else who fancies joining in. It's like, you know, the bands are all finished. There's nothing to do. Let's roam around the site, pick a random car, and set fire to it.
It's funny she mentioned that because my daughter went to Leeds Festival this year, and she was very surprised at the end of that because everyone set fire to their tents. But the thing is, they've got all these disposable 40 quid tents. And at the end of it, it's just mayhem. It was set fire to the tents, like all people's possessions are flying all over the place. So, not that much changed.
If you come from near or far, driving a motor car, if you're struggling a shooting star, welcome to Rebel Rickets World of Ska! Welcome to Rebel Rickets World of Ska! Welcome to Rebel Rickets World of Ska!
So listen, if you please know that the world of Ska has finally come home after a long trek that's taken in so many countries, and come home to this country, England, and of course, where are we going to go? We've got to go to Hull, haven't we? Hull to see the bands. The Talks. In November, they released their first album called Commoners, Peers, Drunks and Thieves. They're quite a happening band. They've got a lot of play everywhere. Got 20,000 followers, I think, on Facebook. Maybe even more. And if you're very quick, you get off to Bandcamp now. There's a live album that's completely free. And, you know, we all feel about that. Bizarre, looking at their tour for this year. They're not playing anywhere near here, by the way.
No, they don't, they.
But on the 24th of July, they play Salisbury with Cunt of the Gang. And then they're playing the Great Northern Mod Ska Festival in Beadle, wherever the hell that is. I'm just pleased that such a thing exists, really. And curiously, on the 20th of November, they're playing at Warmwell Holiday Park.
And are you sure this is 2015, not 2014?
2015.
Dates for November.
They might be playing at one of those, you know, they, lots of the holiday camps do these weekenders. You know, like there'll be like a Madness Weekend or a Northern Soul Weekend. There's a Ska one. I've seen it advertised, so maybe they're playing. Maybe that's why they're playing there.
Yeah, well, it's,
you've got to go.
It's near Weymouth. I'm not going anywhere near. I hate Weymouth.
You hate Weymouth?
Yeah, I've been to holiday at Weymouth. It was a dreadful place.
What was it?
Portmanville.
Haven.
Chesil Beach. Portmanville. Or what, Beaching Head? These are ska bands.
Fair enough. On this track, they're accompanied by Johnny Itch Fox, or just Itch for short, who states, dropping bombs is not the way to put an end to war. I think that's what he says. It was very, very hard to say. and I think he goes on to say, if you don't like me, but you can see you're creating a cause. Which is actually quite a good point when you think about it, because he says that, in essence, if you go around arming half the world, don't be surprised when bullets start flying back at you. Anyway, here's the Talks, featuring Itch, it's Ceasefire.
Yo, it's the Talks, with Itch. Drop it, yo.
listen. Dropping bombs is not the way to put the end to war. You don't like the affair, but keep on creating a course. Two nation trains, I hate each other to the core. And fear and hate till the nation spread through media warlords. Fear and hate from the enemies that create nuclear war. Nuclear war. Push my mind in dangerous fights and bullet cars. These senseless fire soldiers rifle to the floor. Fear and hate some nations fake, they deal it. Deal it. Deal it.
JM by Strand of Oaks, and before that, East Yorkshire's very own, The Talks. So they're from Hull, you say? Are you sure they're not from Scarborough?
Is that it? Yeah. Is that what you've got? That's obviously Yorkshire Scar, or Scar.
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 Scar. Scar. Have you heard Scar?
Scar.
Yeah.
They did plan that as well. They plan the all thing.
Did they?
So if you do go and download the live album, I don't hear from all. We always get that reaction.
The thing about the Hull accent, of course, is that it's the flirt inverter, isn't it? They have the flirt inverter.
Do go on.
No, flirt inverter.
Flirt inverter.
Flirt inverter, yeah. Or the floating voter, as we might say. But in Hull, they say the flirt inverter. That's all I've got on that. This is an incredible addition to your world of Scar.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's good to see it becoming, you know, Scar's coming home, as they say. It's coming.
Well, you do wonder, don't you? Yeah. They're playing a lot of festivals. They look good, young guys.
But surely, Rebel, if
you're in charge,
your world of Scar needs to go beyond Humber.
Yeah, this isn't the end of the world of Scar. No. It's got to set off on its travels again.
Absolutely.
Can we set you some challenges?
I've been petitioned by the whole of Poland.
The whole of Poland,
yeah. Because they're very left out. Their nose is particularly out of joint, and they're saying, "You better get over here, sunshine. Okay. We've got Scar for you."
Polish Scar.
Polish Scar. Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to go next.
So listen up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. All right.
So after that, we had
Strand of Oaks.
Sounding a bit like Neil Young, I thought, that song. It's called JM. It sounded a bit like Cortez the Killer.
But of course, Neil Young wouldn't like that because we've just played it off a CD and he doesn't like CDs, does he?
Well, no, he's all about new media.
He's got his own...
He's got this new thing.
He's invented his own format.
Yeah, well, right? It was a Kickstarter thing, wasn't it? And I decided not to go with it, but it's just been released. I think 200 quid gets you a little player, Pono. Are they called Pono? Mm.
Porno.
I think it's called
Neil Young's doing porno.
I think it's called Pono.
That would be awful, wouldn't it? Oh, God.
Yeah. Neil Young porn.
Neil Young doing porn.
Reverse cowgirl in the sand. So what is Pono? What is it?
I think it...
What do you get for your 200 quid?
You get something that looks a bit like an iPod, as far as I can make out. And I'm presuming that instead of playing MP3s, it plays the highfalutin, not even WAVs, but above WAVs, whatever that is.
Right.
A Pono, okay. I would imagine. So it's a much purer sound, and he reckons it's better than CD, better than vinyl, better than listening to because the sound on an MP3 is all condensed.
It is,
This presumably is much less so, but
yeah,
I would imagine that the capacity is quite low for how many songs you can get on it, but I don't know.
I can say, I mean, in his defence, I bought a Neil Young CD once, and I did notice it just had this sort of high-pitched whining sound on every song. Yeah.
Well, I bought Neil Young's album last year.
Yeah, and you hated it, didn't you?
I'm currently using it as a coaster.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Hi, Neil. Yeah.
So anyway, JM, that song JM,
yes.
In the song he's talking about, the singer is describing some fairly dark and lonely times for himself, I think,
yeah.
and he's describing how he had an escape and he found some solace because I had your sweet tunes to play. JM. So my immediate thought was, you won't agree with this, but I was thinking, well, it must be Joni Mitchell.
No, it'd be John Mason, the Cardiff and Bolton Wanderers centre forward. Yeah.
Did he make a lot of LPs? Did he?
He's got a lot of tunes. A lot of tunes.
No, probably wasn't in there.
Jim Morrison.
He's done a bit, hasn't he? Well, yeah. Probably Johnny Mathis. I mean, the great Johnny Mathis.
But it's actually none of those, is it?
No,
it's none of those. It's a guy called Jason Molina.
Yeah.
Who I don't know much about. I have to say, he was in a band called the Magnolia Electric Company.
That's right.
And Tell us more.
Well, and also in Songs Are Higher. I don't really know much about Magnolia Electric Company, but I do know about Songs Are Higher, and I'm familiar, particularly with one song of theirs, which is on this.
CD.
Soundtrack. Yes, it is a CD. It's a soundtrack from the film Dean Quixote. Do you see what they did there?
Yes.
And
I know why you bought this CD.
Why?
Because it's got Guided by Voices.
It has got Guided by Voices in it as well. Yeah, that's true. I do know that Jason Molina died in 2013, and he's
a fairly young guy, quite young,
but pretty prolific before then. And right. Songs Are Higher played quite a lot on John Peel back in the day. A tremendous band. Can I just say before we go any further though, that there's a bit in that song, that Strand of Oaks song, I think it's about a minute and a half in or something, when the guitar gets really big. And I love that. That is my favourite bit of that song.
But don't you think that he starts so quietly because he knows that
he knows it's coming? Yeah, that's right. And that's the solo good. After about 6 minutes as well was really good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Actually, the whole album is excellent.
Yeah.
And it doesn't all sound like that. That's one of the
that's this year.
Slower.
Isn't it?
It was one of my albums of the year for last year.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I suggest that we follow that up then with Songs Are Higher. What do you reckon?
Sounds good.
So the last song we're going to play tonight then is from the soundtrack Dean Quixote. It's Songs Are Higher, and this is the song Hot Black Silk.
There will be trouble just time to say goodnight from the Trust the Wizards podcast. All of this podcast, I've been Rebel Rickett, and I'll continue to do so. But it's also goodnight from Mr. Kicker of Elves.
Good night.
And with his Earth name, Sharitho Garbanzo, he also says...
Avolta di Rotum Katsa.
Good night, listener.